This is the Super Sports Schools Podcast, bringing you stories of our future stars, powered by Spur Steak Ranchers.
1, 2, 3, go!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Super Sports Schools podcast brought to you by Spur. Do you recognise that music? That's the sound of the SA20 and it's just around the corner. Shami, my co-host with me today, the SA20, it's been an incredible two seasons. We've got the third one coming up. Not exactly what we're going to talk about today, but just to start off, what have you enjoyed most about the SA20?
Alex, I am so excited because I'm just thinking about those exhilarating nights at the SA20 and especially trying to get that one-handed 1 million catch.
Yeah, I mean, if we took that one-handed catch, we wouldn't have to be here.
Definitely not.
But then what we're actually here to talk about today is the school's SA20. Yes. Super Sport Schools is involved in that. We're streaming it. And I'm so excited for it because it brings together all that goodwill we have with the SA20, those great vibes, the peers, and it brings it to schools.
Yes. What I'm so impressed about the school's SA20 is they're bringing girls into this tournament. So that's quite exciting to see them being exposed to these opportunities. The shows are being broadcasted. It's a whole lot. Yeah.
It's all happening and I'm so excited about it. Hundreds of schools. Thousands of kids.
Yeah.
It's quite complex. There are a whole lot of phases. And so you might going to get to those finals weekends in March, the 13th to the 15th. So we decided we're going to talk to someone who knows about all of that, who can help explain it, introduce you to the school's SA20, because it is the first year it's running in this format. He's a former Protea and he's the head of cricket operations at the SA20 itself, Stephen Cook. So we chat to him. But just before we chat in, let's have a little bit of a look of what this season of the school's SA20 has in store for us. Stephen, welcome to the Super Sports Schools podcast. Thanks so much for joining us and being here today to talk about the SA20 and the school's SA20. We're very excited to have you with us.
Yes, great to be here and thanks for having me. It's always good to talk cricket and especially exciting new things about cricket.
Yeah, and we want to talk about cricket because we've done a little bit of research just ahead of this to know a bit more about you. And one of the things that actually we found out that was quite cool is that you were the first ever South African to face the pink ball. I don't know if you knew that, but Google knows that. And also the first South African, first person to face a ball in a day-night test match. So that's what we found out with doing a bit of our research. But How have you gone from playing cricket, the transition to being involved with the SA20? How's that all come about?
Yeah, I suppose transitioning out of a professional career that lasted, 18, 19 years isn't easy. And I think for a lot of players, regardless of when your career comes to an end or why, whether it's injury, whether it's through retirement or what have you, can be really difficult. And certainly in my time at the South African Cricketers Association, SACA, I certainly became aware of that more acutely. And so in many ways, my transition has been relatively smooth. I know for a lot of players, they find it very difficult, not just financially, but sort of from an identity point of view. You know, for so long, you're known as XYZ, the professional cricketer. And then when that falls away, it can be quite challenging. So for me, yeah, very blessed. Went straight out of my playing days into working for SACA, the Players Association, where I learned a lot. Fantastic team there. Andrew Brzezinski is the CEO. I learned a lot from them. And then, two and a bit years ago, Graham Smith rang me up and said, listen, we're starting the SA20 and would you like to come and head up the cricket ops? And I jumped to that opportunity. Graham and I went to school together, so we've known each other since we were young. And I suppose the rest is history. So no cricket on the field for me since I walked off that fateful day probably five and a half years ago. But we're certainly enjoying career post cricket, but still in cricket. So I suppose that's the perfect mix.
So could you tell us more about your role in the school's SA20? What do you do? What's like day in the life?
Yeah, so obviously SA20 is sort of our flagship event, and through the identity of that one of our mantras is sort of for everyone.
Yeah.
And we wanted to make sure that the game was accessible. What were we doing for that next generation?
Yeah.
We were appealing to a whole new fan set, to a lot of young kids. If you've attended an SA20 game, you'll have seen how many youngsters are there, that family atmosphere. And we wanted to do good and do more for the game. And we realized that, you know, our players and the quality of our cricket is one of our key drivers. Yeah. And so we want to make sure that's protected for future generations. So how do you future-proof that? How do you appeal to a new fan? And it's through them playing the game.
Yes.
And so really that was how we launched Schools SA20. It was off the back of just sort of owning more of that pipeline. And, you know, we've partnered with Cricket South Africa, which was vital, especially when you're on a project of this size. You know, we're still a small team building a league, moving into our third season as a bigger organization. But, that was sort of that next step into the schools, and it was a proven sort of track record of success in that. And really, really exciting. It's from an administration point of view, tough.
Yeah.
It's very widespread. It's not like our competition where we've got, you know, 34 games, over 1,000
thousands,
games.
I'm
sure we'll speak more about that as we go along.
Yeah.
Really, really vast. So, year one's about getting it all set up and getting everyone interested in it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure as things go, we'll take it from strength to strength, but very exciting.
And this is something that's sort of happened before. You talk about that proven track record.
Yeah.
There has been a sort of competition before where schools from across the country take part. So, and I think that we were talking off air, but I think that last happened in 2019. So obviously there's been a bit of a gap and now it's being revitalized. It's got the name and sort of the idea of all the fun, the excitement, the thoughts of summer that come with the SA20 attached to it. So what's a bit different in this revitalization and how's it come to where we are now?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You speak, it's a proven track record. I mean, you look at many of the pro tiers playing today, many of our South Africans playing in the SA20, they all came up through what was in the CSA schools competition. That was only played for boys at the time, but had a fantastic track record, and by 2019 had grown to something quite substantial. Obviously, a few years of not having it, and you know, we thought this is a perfect opportunity to revitalize something that has, you know, already got that proven track record, but we wanted to add the girls to it.
Yeah.
So we mirrored exactly what we would have done for the boys with the girls, so doubled up on our efforts there, And hopefully created something, as you say, so how do you make it something different? I think that mass appeal, reaching all corners of the country, obviously with our main league we're based in the six metros, so just taking the game to all quarters. And then sort of especially as we'll talk through the phases, making it that SA20 experience, making sure that especially from our finals weekend and our phase two, that every participant walks away from there going, I got to feel a little bit of something of SA20, you know, the branding, be it the stilt walkers, be it the DJ, be it the entertainment, be it exactly streamed and broadcast and, you know, singing the national anthem before the game. So a lot of those sort of ideas is what we wanted to achieve. And as we can maybe get into a bit later, that finals weekend, you know, to have masterclasses with players' heroes. So you know, they walk away from it, whether they won the tournament, you know, lost all their games, scored 100 or not, they walked away with a masterclass from, you know, one of their stars or one of their favorite players, and just got to be around an environment where, you know, hopefully that ignites the flame. Because, I mean, I think we all know that school sport is our secret sauce in this country.
Yeah.
You know, it's where we seem to be able to create a lot more than what we should in terms of all the talent that we have. So just to take that to that next step and that next level, hopefully bears fruit in time to come.
And you talk about some of the players giving masterclasses, some of the players that have been through what this tournament was before. I mean, we've seen Mulder, Dzorzi, Maiden, Test Hundreds this week as we record this, and they both have gone through that system before. So it's a great pathway, so we'll talk about that as well. But I think something that I want to get at is you talk about the phases, you talk about the finals weekend. So to give us a bit of or better idea of how it's all structured and how it works, because there are 1,000 schools, thousands of players all taking part, boys and girls. So how does it all come together? How do we ultimately get to that finals weekend in mid-March next year?
Yeah, good question. I mean, it's fairly complex. So hopefully I'll be able to articulate in a simplistic way. Broken down into three phases, first one being very broad and wide, played in all 16 member regions across the country. 600 schools, so that's boys and girls combined, 7,500 unique players across the competition, 1,000 matches. So really broad and wide, about 160 games streamed on Super Sport Schools, so a decent percentage of that. Each of those regions have their own sort of structure of competition. In some of the regions, for instance, in Cape Town or in Gauteng, that'll be a pure knockout competition based off existing almost school structures.
Yeah.
Whereas in some of the other regions, KZN, for example, where just the geography is so different, we've had to go with slightly different models there. But ultimately, we get down to the stage where, you know, through September, October, and in November, where we currently are, we'll have that phase one, where each region ends up with their finalists, and those finalists will move through to phase two. Phase two is in January and early Feb next year, and that will be played in six regions. So we sort of centralize it. So, for instance, Western Province, Southwestern Districts, and Borland come together. They play a phase two tournament, and then there's ultimately a boys' winner and a girls' winner out of that tournament. So that's sort of phase two, about 90 matches in that. And there you'll see a lot more sort of really strength versus strength, a lot of the rivalries that you'll come to expect, you know, it's especially where the more predominant schools in the traditional schools have come through. But I think it's important to at this juncture sort of put in there that, you know, the hubs, the focus schools, a lot of new schools are also part of this competition. And we're starting to, as we're seeing phase one develop, seeing quite a few of these teams actually upset some of the traditional schools, which is really encouraging, which shows that you know, that pipeline and that development has sort of started to move away from only being at the traditional school. So I think that's really encouraging to see. And probably more particularly highlighted in the girls' space, where, you know, a lot of the hubs, there were a lot of schools who, in the girls' space, who entered teams for the first time. They sort of were keen to be part of it. They hadn't really had a formal girls' competition and entered a team. And I think that's really, really exciting, cool news. So phase two coincides with our main competition, which was done intentionally. We want to create a nice crossover there. There's a great opportunity to get some of these schools who are participating in the phase two down to our games, help to create that link between the competitions, because that's really important for us. And then ultimately phase three, which is the winners of that. So it'll be the six girls teams and eight boys teams. And that'll be up at Tux, middle of March, 13th to the 15th of March, with the aim of really creating a real vibe, especially that finals day on the 15th. We really want to turn that into something special. We want to make it feel like a mini SA20 game for those kids. With Super Sports Schools, with the reach that we've got from that, hope you'll be able to continue to grow this and make it bigger and better. We knew in year one we're gonna have some teething problems, and they've actually been mitigated, to be perfectly honest, pretty well by, you know, having CSA on board and some of our team from SA20. But really encouraging as we move through. And in the last week or two, there have been some really awesome games as we've got to the end of phase one and starting to see some of those finals where teams know there's something big on the line.
It rolls off the tongue. Imagine saying you have won
the school's SA20. And speaking of the main competition, we have seen how the Betway SA20 has almost worked as a stepping stone for domestic league players to play nationally, like the youngsters. So what do you think the school's SA20 will do for this youngsters?
That's a really good question, and that's critical to how we've sort of envisioned this product is to create the pipeline. You know, we know that the ultimate is the player playing for the Proteas or the Proteas women. That's the pinnacle. You know, playing at a World Cup, hopefully lifting a World Cup trophy one day. So how do we get there? SA20, obviously that platform for players to play at elite level. You know, playing alongside your Ben Stokes and Jake Bolts and Tony Bairstows of this world, that'll help grow our player. I mean, we've already seen it in the Otniel Barkmans and the Ryan Nicholsons, and these are countless examples. And I'm sure as time goes, there'll be more and more examples. Matthew Brietsky is another one there. And he's probably an example of how we take that a step further. So we introduced our rookie player last year, of which Nava was one of
rookie,
them. So he came in fairly unknown, I mean, to people who don't know cricket. People who, I mean, in the know knew that there was this really talented leg spinner coming through, but he obviously got picked up by Paul Royals as a rookie within 6-8 months of playing for South Africa. So schools SA20 was just taking that a step further and saying, we looked at our rookies, we saw Steve Stolk, we saw Luandre Pretorius. We said, where are these guys being identified? Where are these scouts, your franchise scouts, where are they seeing these guys? And we were like, at the schools tournament. They've realized schools is a key driver of those performance areas. And so that was another reason. Let's try and put some impact there. Let's give these youngsters, 16, 17, 18, a platform where, you know, Pretoria Capital scout knows where to go to look to see where he's going to find his next rookie.
Yeah.
So it'll be a fantastic story if one day, you know, lifting a World Cup final trophy with someone who is obviously playing for the Proteas, played SA20, was potentially a rookie and played in our school's competition, then I think we've achieved what we wanted to. And whether that be on the boys' or the girls' side, I think that's been very key, is that we're trying to do it equally.
Yeah.
We've been really intentional about investing in the women's space. Yeah. Even before the school's competition was launched, we invested in the under-19 girls' camps in terms of trying to prepare them for the next World Cup next year.
Yeah.
So we realize that base of women cricketers needs to grow and increase. Yeah. And we've seen how successful the Proteas women have been.
Yeah.
And we're saying for them to be sustainable, if we can keep producing a real strong base of players, that'll help things along in time to come. Because we're all about the sustainability of the performance.
Yeah.
You know, having one good season is one good season.
Yeah.
Having one good tournament is one good tournament. But if you can be good over period of time. And I think, I mean, Springbok rugby is maybe the case in point. You know, one World Cup was fantastic, but to have a period of 8-9 years of success, you see what that does. I mean, from a commercial success to how many green jerseys you see out there on an average Friday in South Africa, I mean, that's the sort of behavior that we want to see. And, you know, if this translates into players playing, or if it just translates into fans, if it just translates, if you take those 7,500 kids who are playing this year and proportion of them convince mom and dad to come down to the game, whether it be to support the Proteas, to support SA20, we're winning and we're encouraging the game of cricket. So, yeah, that's in a pretty long-winded way, perhaps.
No, but it's lovely.
Where we've tried to head with this. And we're really excited for it. So, yeah.
We're so excited to watch it, to see it come back. When the SA20 starts and the school's SA20 phase two are happening at the same time, that synergy is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit more about those pipelines that you mentioned, because one of the very first guests we ever had on the show was Niels Momberg from Cricket South Africa. At that time, he was the youth and tertiary cricket manager at Cricket South Africa. And one of the things that he spoke about that stuck with me ever since is the makeup of the men's and women's Proteas and how they differ in their origin. So both teams at the moment are doing great things. Both T20 teams making World Cup finals, women doing it 2 years in a row, both doing it for the first time in the past year and a bit, which is great. The men having a fantastic test series at the moment. So cricket's in a good place. But those teams are constructed in very different ways. The men's side, a lot of the Proteas throughout history have come from very few schools. Most of them have come from schools, though. And then on the girls' side, most of them haven't come from schools. And I think that's something that's also quite cool. Schools SA20 is probably going to shift that a bit as schools start playing. And you've mentioned that there's some schools playing, girls' schools playing for the first time that they're submitting a team. And that's really exciting. So maybe to talk a bit more about that and the difference and the growth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're spot on with what you're saying. That's traditionally how it's been. And I think, how do we unlock even better performance is to leverage both sides of that argument. It's on the girls' side for players to be coming through the hubs and the club system, but also through the schools. We're going to end up doubling our efforts. The same thing in terms of the boys and the traditional schools. Yes, that's great if your traditional schools are producing your star cricketers as they have for many years. But if we're starting to access other areas, if the hubs are producing, or schools in areas around the country, not just in your metros, are producing a lot of cricketers, we're tapping into more players. So the stats are like that at the moment, and I think they're starting to shift.
Yeah.
Hopefully this will exacerbate and speed up that sort of change or transformation, however you want to phrase it. Because as we've seen, I mean, rugby, again, I point to the more of the country we've been able to access in terms of talent, we've seen it translate into performance. And so I think cricket is exactly the same. And yeah, I think that pipeline is important. You know, as cricket, you're competing with all the other sports. You know, I mean, if I think about sort of basketball and how successful basketball has been in South Africa recently, I mean, that's a big driver for kids. You can imagine the 6'3", 17-year-old, you know, who could potentially be your next Kagiso Rabada.
Yeah.
We're competing with that guy shooting hoops because, you know, the basketball coach has also said, hey, listen, you've got the right attributes. So I think it's also competing for the talent. You know, that same tall kid, you know, I'm sure the rugby coach is saying, hey, you know, I'm sure you could play lock for my rugby team.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, we often see that. You know, I mean, we all anecdotally know about that kid at school who could do everything, but that's what happens. And so, how do we make that kid choose cricket? So yeah, we need to make it exciting. And this is just another reason why too. You know, it's when you see the money, you watch the auction of the SA20 and you see the money that some of these players go for. You know, if I was a youngster sitting there, I mean, R-ing, it'd be a pretty good carrot to choose cricket.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, if my name can be drawn out there and Richard Madeley's got us bidding away for you, I think it'll be quite exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's out of retirement.
Sick, for real.
I've thought about coming out of retirement for that. I thought about maybe slipping my name in that bag there, but
I mean, me having my highest ever probably level fourth team cricket at Rondebosch. We had, I think, when I played, 6-7 teams on a given week. So that's a school that has loads of teams. Out of COVID, I know it was a bit smaller. It's growing again. But I think that's replicated across the country. Rondebosch, very much a traditional cricket-playing school. So if it can be replicated, like you say, in other schools, and even if it's just a school that hasn't maybe played before or a school that adds another team, that's growth, and that's great. And it's also creating fans for the future. And we love the SA20, and we want to share it with more people to come and enjoy it. So I just think that's so good.
What advice would you have for a young Stephen? Because I know you debuted for South Africa in 2016, which what people would say it's like quite late in your career. But when you debuted, you scored a century, your debut for Test. And everyone would be like, oh, like what advice would you give to a young Stephen in the school's SA20 that's maybe not having their season or just not things are not going as what they'd wish.
Or as quick.
Because
you see the Quenema Parkers that we talk about
on
the wall here. I mean, he's having success last year already when he's in
IPL great even.
IPL.
Yeah.
And then you're busy tapping away.
You were playing Test. Yeah.
You're waiting. Somebody else is waiting for something to happen. And maybe it's taking a bit longer.
Yeah.
They're these two extremes.
No, I mean, absolutely. I was probably at the extreme of it and Quinn at the other extreme. But I think it's a society thing. I mean, we're driven to instant gratification these days. We want it. We want it now. And technology and everything has brought things that way. So it's difficult to sort of preach the patience, the hard work, the dedication, all these old-fashioned qualities and things that we want. But I would still preach that. I'd still preach that. You know, there are many paths to reach. And just because one gets there quickly doesn't mean you stay there. The challenges come in all sorts of different ways.
Yeah.
So, my path had its challenges in one way. On the other side, it allowed me to debut as a mature player who knew their game and I could feel comfortable in that. I mean, I remember making my Test debut and not feeling nervous at all because I'd played so many years. It was ultimately, it was the same ball coming in.
Just another game.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was, you wore a different badge and whatever, but it was the same thing. Whereas I think it can be tough for these youngsters. You know, you make your debut at 19, 20.
Yeah.
You probably never failed. You've probably been a school prodigy.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, you know, you fail at the age of 19 and you fail in front of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got its own challenges. So, you know, sometimes, you know, taking the slightly longer route works. And I think they're all different. And I think that's what I would say to them, just in your own time.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Stephen, just before we wrap up with you, where can people find more information about the schools SA20, follow the journey? Obviously, many of the matches being streamed on SuperSport Schools, so people can watch it there. And also those finals weekends, the 13th to the 15th of March, will be on Channel 216 as well. But if people want to find out more information about the different teams, the different regions, who's winning what and how that's all going, where can they do that?
Yeah, so, I mean, as you said, SuperSport Schools, I mean, that's where a lot of the games are being shown. So in terms of actually watching the content, there you go. We've got a website, SchoolsSA20, and we're on all the social media handles. So trying to keep everyone up to date with that. And I think as we go through the phases, those sort of things, the website, the socials will gain a bit more traction. There'll be a few more stats and interesting things that we can build upon that as we sort of narrow it down. So, hopefully, you know, this has sparked a bit of interest. People who maybe didn't know or sort of vaguely heard about it show some interest. You know, maybe it's just beyond the school that they maybe support.
Yeah.
And hopefully it continues to grow from strength to strength. So, it's been great talking about it. It's great to see the passion that you guys have also put behind it. So, thank you for that.
Awesome. Fun. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Bringing you the sport you care about the most, this is the Super Sport Schools Podcast. You might call it living your best life, but we call it Spur Cheeseburger Mondays.
Because for only $84.90, Mondays become legendary when you can choose between 100% pure beef, succulent chicken, delicious soya, or tender rib cheeseburger, all served with Spur-style crispy onion rings and golden chips. So, when life gives you Mondays, enjoy a Spur cheeseburger. T's and C's apply. Spur, people with a taste for life.
Bringing you the sport you care about the most, this is the Super Sports Schools Podcast.
Welcome back to the Super Sports Schools Podcast. I'm Alex White. Alongside me, Shami, we're talking about the schools SA20. Had a great interview there with Stephen Cook to talk about the tournament. What did you enjoy most, or what was sort of most interesting about what he had to say?
I think I was very interested in what he said about how the schools SA20 is going to work as a pipeline for like the domestic league, eventually seeing these students being rookies in the SA20 and eventually even national players. So that's really something to look out for.
And I know you follow some of the girls quite closely, in the 19, some of them you know from when you played as well. Maybe that's going to come up now in what we're about to do, which is my favorite part of the show. The Which I'm not sure if you've done it before with me
as, as I have
co-host.
Not.
So usually I get we get the co-hosts to do it. So Tim's done it many times. His score this season, his highest score this season was 7.
Out of 10?
No, it's just 60 seconds, as many questions as you can.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it's up to you. There is technically no limit, but I might run out of questions.
Okay.
It hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
So if you do that, I'll be quite impressive. High score of the season is 8. Okay. We're doing something a bit different today. This quiz is called Last Week's Quiz.
Okay.
So it's everything. It's about everything that's happened in the last week.
Yeah.
School sport, all sorts. Yeah. So how are you feeling?
I'm feeling nervous because it's my first time, but I'm excited.
Excited for it. Well, then 60 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who scored a maiden test century of 177 for the Proteas against Bangladesh this week?
Tony D'Souza.
Correct. Banyana Banyana played a friendly against the Lionesses on Sunday, but who won?
England.
Correct. Did Bishops or Kersney claim their first ever Saints Invitational water polo title last Sunday?
Bishops?
It was Kersney. Who became the first South African footballer to be nominated for the Yashin Trophy at the 2024 Ballon d'Or Awards last Monday?
Ronwyn Williams?
Yeah, that's correct. True or false, the SA Under-17 boys hockey team is going to play in a series in Malaysia next week?
True.
That's correct. Who beat Grade College in the Free State Schools SA20 region final?
Is it Rondebosch?
No, it's St. Andrews. The class of 2024 is coming up. Which sponsor or which partner of Super Sports Schools is proudly dressing the cast?
Sponsor? Under Armour.
Correct. The SA Women Under-19 team defeated Ireland last Monday, but who was the player of the match?
Darabo Missile.
That's correct. You got 6.
We have another question.
No, you got 6.
Oh, okay.
The time's up.
Oh, yes.
2 seconds done.
Oh, question. Why didn't you say that? Okay, great. Okay.
I stopped because the time ended.
Oh, okay. Hectic.
But 6 is good.
Not bad. It's not 0.
No. Well, it's better than quite a few of the scores that have been this season. Tell me a little bit about Karabo Mesu.
So I'm quite excited to see Karabo Mesu doing big things on the big stage. She started in one of, well, the Soweto Club, which, as we spoke about in our interviews, how many of the girls don't really come from school cricket, but more the hubs. So she's from Soweto, and she's played in the women's team for the Lions, represented her country. I think she debuted at 17 last year.
Yeah.
And now look at her, the under-19s, absolutely killing it as always. So she's one to look out for. And I'm so excited that she's also, well, I don't know if she gets time to play, but she's also part of the school's SA20. Well, her school is part of it. So it's like so exciting to watch her.
Well, hopefully the school's SA20 is going to give us the next Karabo Mesu.
Oh, definitely.
And we can make that a question in the next quiz. But Shami, thanks so much for joining me and being part of the chat with Stephen. I think we've all learned a lot more about the school's SA20, and we're excited to see it unfold as we head into phase 2 in January and February. This month, phase 1 is wrapping up. Check out Schools SA20 on all social media platforms and go and visit their website as well, as the cricket season really gets into full swing. We have new episodes of the Super Sports Schools podcast every Sunday at 6 p.m. Make sure you tune in next week. But for now, from Shami and myself, bye-bye.
This has been the Super Sports Schools podcast, bringing you stories of our future stars, powered by Spur Steak Ranchers.